From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A federal appeals court has upheld parts of the controversial decision by the Federal Communications Commission to overturn Obama-era net neutrality rules. But in its ruling, the court also said that the FCC cannot impose limits on states to maintain their own net neutrality rules. Still, FCC Chair Ajit Pai, who has singularly pushed to overturn net neutrality, cast the decision as a major victory. He wrote on Twitter that the ruling was, quote, a big victory for consumers, and that, quote, the court affirmed the FCC's decision to repeal 1930s utility-style regulation of the internet. But what did the 200-page court decision actually say? And is it really a victory for Mr. Pai? To answer that question, my guest, Catherine Trenda Costa, joins us. She's Manager of Policy and Activism at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Welcome to the program, Catherine.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So first, let's talk about the ruling itself and the fact that to some extent, that ruling, as far as I understand, did affirm what the FCC did on net neutrality?
Yes. So the ruling issued by the DC Circuit upholds the majority of the so-called Restoring Internet Freedom Order, which repealed the 2015 net neutrality protections that the previous FCC had issued. The court remanded, by which they mean instructed the FCC to do further investigation on three issues, as well as striking down a chunk of the order which prevented states from stepping into the gap the FCC had created.
What were aspects of the FCC decision that the court wants it to revisit?
So there are three, which is basically what the court said was that in the process of issuing this order, the FCC didn't adequately consider the effect of the order on three issues. The first is public safety, which for those of us in California was most strongly illustrated by the Santa Clara firefighters who found themselves being throttled during an emergency. The other one is something called pole attachments. And then the third issue is the impact on the Lifeline program, which is a way of subsidizing communications for those without the means to access it themselves.
And I want to get into some of these because these are critical. Let's talk about the Santa Clara firefighters. And when you say throttling, for those among our audience that aren't familiar with the technical term, what do you mean exactly?
Okay, so generally speaking, net neutrality is often described as involving three particular practices. They are called blocking, throttling, and paid prioritization. That's not all of what net neutrality is. Net neutrality is the principle that your ISP treats all of the data flowing through the internet the same, but the most clear examples of violations of that principle are blocking, throttling, and paid prioritization. Throttling, most of us have experienced, actually, in some way. When you see like the little buffering because it's taking time to load, or you see the quality go down, that sort of throttling, by which they mean sort of choking down the speed of your internet. Blocking is kind of obvious. It's literally just blocking you from accessing something. And paid prioritization is giving preferential treatment to some sort of content in exchange for money or your own content, because that'll give you some sort of boost. So those are generally speaking the like three things. And so what happened in Santa Clara is that during a fire, is that during what was at the time the largest fire, California has had larger ones since then, they had these sort of mobile internet hotspots, and they were using them to sort of run their firefighting command center, or like one of them. And they ran into their data cap, even though it was supposed to be an unlimited service. And so what it was it was unlimited until you hit a certain amount of data, and then they slowed it down. And so that's what happened during the fire. They had backups, and so it didn't completely hobble them, but it was like an example of something that happens and was a public safety implication of the net neutrality rules.
And this was exactly the basis, or one of the bases for which there's been widespread public opposition to overturning the rules on net neutrality, right? Because right now, the idea is that if we want to preserve a free and open internet, everybody should be able to have the same access. That's not quite true. Ajit Pai claims that the rolling back of net neutrality rules is precisely what's going to deliver a free and open internet. In fact, he celebrated the court ruling on Twitter, saying that that's what it was, a victory for consumers. But if the court ruling is pointing to this very clear example of throttling that took place, where basically the data of a server that was very critical to public safety was being choked, then how exactly does Ajit Pai claim that rolling back of net neutrality doesn't hurt people?
So there's sort of two things, I think, in your question. The first is the issue of public safety is a sort of separate one, and one that is less related to the consumer issue, which he is also wrong on. So he's wrong on both. The public safety issue has to do with the fact that because of the way the FCC order happened, the FCC has basically said that they don't have any oversight over ISPs. And so when public safety issues like what happened in Santa Clara pop up, the FCC can't actually step in and investigate what happened. So that's one aspect of what's going on. And that's a public safety issue, which is separate from the consumer issue. So Ajit Pai's theory, and it's the one the ISPs like because it's the one they want, is that this kind of oversight in some way was preventing ISPs from investing or expanding their services, which isn't true. We know for a fact that the ISP's investment didn't change when net neutrality existed, and that it's not a win for consumers. In fact, consumers are going to be the ones hit the most because they're the ones who are going to find their choices impacted pretty strongly, and that they're the ones who are going to find that the internet is now being served to them based on who can pay the ISPs, not based on what they actually want to see.
Does this have to do with the fact that we have a very serious problem in this country of lack of access to broadband internet, particularly in rural areas and impoverished areas?
Yes, so that is in fact what they say that they weren't investing in because of net neutrality, which is actually incorrect in a number of ways. And in
I
fact,
mean,
net
how does that even
neutrality.
make sense? If net
They're
neutrality was stopping them from investing in areas where poor people couldn't access the internet, I mean, it just doesn't seem to make any sense.
No, it doesn't, and I wouldn't say it does. I am not going to argue for their side. I think they are clearly incorrect, and I think, the lack of access to broadband internet has very little to do with net neutrality, and it just has to do with priorities of major corporations and how it's easier to expand where it's dense because you can have a lot of people pay you. And that's just their choice as a company. It has very little to do with net neutrality. The other thing is, the argument that net neutrality was brand new, popped out of nowhere, and was causing problems for ISPs is itself wrong. Net neutrality didn't pop into existence in 2015 with the Open Internet Order. Net neutrality is a fundamental founding principle of the internet. It is how the internet was sort of built to function. For those of us who've been on it for a while, and for kids who've been on it forever, it's actually kind of hard to imagine an internet where you typing in a site didn't come to you as quickly as any other site. We've actually haven't seen that yet because net neutrality has always been there. And so that's what was new were the threats to net neutrality, not net neutrality itself.
So let's talk about one of the most important aspects of the Federal Appeals Court ruling, which is that the FCC cannot block states from pursuing their own net neutrality rules. This is where states like California figure in quite strongly. What exactly did the decision say, and what does it now mean for, say, California?
So, what the decision said, and I think it's pretty clear, is that the FCC was repealing net neutrality to sort of help large ISPs like Comcast, Verizon, and AT&T. What they realized was if they decided not to enforce net neutrality, someone else might. And so they put in a provision saying, we are reclassifying ISPs, we give up our authority under Title II to do net neutrality, and we're not going to do any of this. Oh, and by the way, states can't do it too. And what the court found logically was that you can't give up your authority in an area, but then assert that non-authority to tell other people not to do something. You can't yell out over your shoulder on your way out the door what other people can do once you've left. And so this sweeping prohibition against state laws has been struck down by the court. For California, California passed SB 822 last year, the gold standard for state-level net neutrality. It is incredibly strong and sort of delivers what people want. As a reminder, 83 to 86% of Americans across party lines are in favor of net neutrality rules. So it is what people want. And so California passed SB 822. They were immediately sued by the US Department of Justice, claiming in part that they violated this preemption clause, which is now no longer in effect and no longer a grounds to sue California. But California and the Department of Justice made a deal that SB 822 wouldn't be enforced until the case against the FCC completely wrapped up. So it's still sort of in limbo until all of the appeals and everything have run out on the case in DC. But the elimination of this sort of sweeping ban means that states who weren't passing net neutrality laws or not considering net neutrality laws because of it can now go forward. There might be other arguments. The FCC and the federal government could bring other challenges, but there is no sweeping ban in
So
effect.
once the law holding, or the or suit rather, lawsuit holding back California's law does work its way through the courts, presumably this federal appeals court decision on net neutrality will impact it positively. Is it possible for that law to take effect in California? And then, if California insists on net neutrality rules, is that sort of a de facto win for net neutrality across the country? Because ISPs aren't going to have one rule for California and another one for the rest of the country.
I never want to make a guess about what ISPs will do in the pursuit of money. If they think they can, if and they think they can do more paid prioritization or win some other way, and that they will get more money by doing that than just having separate rules for California, I wouldn't bet against them doing that. But it is a strong statement from a state with the most people that it is difficult to sort of discount. And again, because California was also the site of the firefighter situation, has a really strong public safety interest in rules like this, in overseeing this kind of behavior.
What could this is this federal appeals court decision the sort of final say on this topic? I mean, if this decision is requiring the FCC to revisit some areas, is it now on the FCC to comply with the ruling, or will the FCC can the FCC appeal this?
The FCC can appeal it, and so can the other side. They can petition for rehearing en banc. They can appeal to the directly to the Supreme Court. There's a couple months, like I think it's 45 to, depending on what avenue, they have a little bit of time to make that decision. So we don't actually know. What they can also do is the FCC has largely sort of won on this, I think. And that's a disappointing thing for those of us, and that is again, most Americans who believe in net neutrality. What they have to do now is go back and sort of investigate, and that could mean holding more hearings on those three areas that the court told them to. But the order itself, minus the state ban, stays in effect. It wasn't they didn't stop it and then tell them to reissue it. It is still standing.
Of course, this does not prevent Congress from taking action, right? The FCC is a single agency where five commissioners sit around taking votes, and whoever the commissioner, the chair is, the appointed chair based on the administration in power, tends to be the swing vote. And there's usually a majority for the party that's in power. So there's currently three Republicans, two Democrats. All of that could change, and of course, Congress could override the FCC. And there have been legislative attempts at the federal level, not just at the state level, such as in California. What's the status of those?
So we ran out the clock on this one, but the Congress can, with a simple majority, overturn any decision by an agency such as the FCC. And that actually passed the Senate last year in a bipartisan vote. This year in the House and the Senate, was the Save the Internet Act was introduced. The Save the Internet Act replicates the protections from 2015 and makes them law, which means that the FCC can't overturn them, because it is a decision by Congress rather than their own decision. That has passed the House and is currently just sitting in the Senate and not moving. And we and everyone else encourage everyone to contact their senators and ask them why that's happening, and encourage them to support the Save the Net Act, because that would enshrine into law the protections that we all want and that keep the internet a free and open place.
And this is exactly the sort of thing that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has, prevented from moving forward at the Senate. There's all this talk, you know, right now in the news cycle, as we're seeing the impeachment inquiry against Trump play out. Trump's backers are saying, you know, the House should do its job and pass legislation instead of being fixated on impeachment. They have passed legislation. This act being among being one of many bills that the House has passed that then literally waste away at the Senate due to Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's inaction, right?
Right. The net neutrality bill has been sitting. It hasn't moved in the Senate. And that's a shame, because, again, a bill pretty similar to this, a bill that would have overturned the FCC and restored the same rules that are essentially the rules that are in the Save the Internet Act, passed the Senate last year bipartisan. So it is, this net neutrality is really frustrating in the sense that it is not a partisan issue for Americans. This is something the vast majority of people want. This isn't a political hot topic. This isn't something that's polarizing. This is, in fact, a very uniting topic that 83 to 86% of Americans are all on the same side of.
This is about corporate profits.
Yes, as is many things.
Yeah. So yeah. Are there other states that you know of that might be considering passing their own state level net neutrality laws like California did, that could now take advantage of this ruling by the DC Circuit Court of Appeals?
I am not aware of any states specifically, mainly because a lot of net neutrality legislation was last year. And so I don't know if
this might give them encouragement.
But this might give them encouragement for the stuff that stayed last year. I'd also like to note that a large number of states were parties to this case.
A large number
of states were on the side of Mozilla in this lawsuit, saying that the FCC did something wrong. And so those states might, now that they know they are not preempted, be more likely to step forward.
Where can people find out more about the work that the Electronic Frontier Foundation does? And are there actions that you recommend people can take? Because this issue of fighting for net neutrality has really been a very broad grassroots effort.
It has. It is, because it's something that a lot of people care about, and on the other side are just corporations. And so it's sort of incumbent upon grassroots to just sort of make themselves heard. I work at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Our website is EFF.org. You can also go to act.eff.org, and right there on that front page, you can click a button and it will allow you to send an email or send an email message to your senators and tell them that you want them to support the Save the Net Act. That is currently running, and we have all sorts of other actions and all sorts of information about this decision and the history of net neutrality, this fight for net neutrality, on our website.
That's EFF.org and act.eff.org. Catherine, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Catherine Trend Acosta is Manager of Policy and Activism at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We've been discussing the recent court ruling on net neutrality. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Do follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.